This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Als Gründerinnen und Gründer willst du vor allem eins, schnell vorankommen. Egal ob beim Product Market Fit, deinem nächsten Schritt oder deinem ersten großen Enterprise Deal. Doch mit KI, die Entwicklung immer schneller macht, steigen auch die Anforderungen an Sicherheit. Und das früher als je zuvor. Wer Themen wie Security und Compliance richtig angeht, ermöglicht Wachstum. Wer zu lange wartet, bremst es aus. Deshalb setzen viele Startups früh auf Wanta und wachsen sicher weiter. Wanta macht es einfach mit tiefen Integrationen, starker Automatisierung und kontinuierlichem Monitoring, das mithält. Und wenn es ans Audit geht, seien Wochen bereit, nicht erst in Monaten. Jetzt starten auf wanta.com. Als Gründerinnen und Gründer willst du vor allem eins, schnell vorankommen. Egal ob beim Product Market Fit, deinem nächsten Schritt oder deinem ersten großen Enterprise Deal. Doch mit KI, die Entwicklung immer schneller macht, steigen auch die Anforderungen an Sicherheit. Und das früher als je zuvor. Wer Themen wie Security und Compliance richtig angeht, ermöglicht Wachstum. Wer zu lange wartet, bremst es aus. Deshalb setzen viele Startups früh auf Wanta und wachsen sicher weiter. Wanta macht es einfach mit tiefen Integrationen, starker Automatisierung und kontinuierlichem Monitoring, das mithält. Und wenn es ans Audit geht, seien Wochen bereit, nicht erst in Monaten. Jetzt starten auf wanta.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, Radio, Podcasts.
Hello, David here with a new series of explainers from The Briefing Room. In today's podcast, we look at Vladimir Putin's motivation for his war in Ukraine. To trace the evolution of his attitude towards Ukraine, I spoke to Vitaly Shevchenko, who's Russia editor for BBC Monitoring and co-presenter of the BBC's Ukraine cast. Vitaly Shevchenko, what do we know about how Vladimir Putin first began to think about Ukraine?
I think there never was a time when he wasn't thinking about Ukraine, because for Vladimir Putin, and I have to say for a significant part of Russian society, it doesn't seem as though they have genuinely accepted Ukraine as a sovereign state that is free to make its own sovereign decisions. So what Vladimir Putin is doing now, I tend to see it as a manifestation of a wider problem that is rooted in distant past, centuries of Russian rule in Ukraine. Ukraine, or parts of Ukraine, used to be part of the Russian Empire. To come back to Vladimir Putin specifically, time and again, for years, he referred to Russians and Ukrainians as one people. Immediately before the start of his so-called special military operation, he wrote an article about the historical unity of the Russian and Ukrainian peoples. The implication being that Ukraine doesn't really have its own identity, language, history, culture, it's part of Russia. And thinking back to my own experience growing up in the Soviet Union, there was this feeling of Russia being the bigger brother. That's a phrase that was mentioned a lot. And Ukraine and the other Soviet socialist republics were junior brothers. So there was a slightly condescending attitude.
And you lived in Ukraine?
I did, yes, for most of my life. And that's why when Vladimir Putin started sounding increasingly more aggressive towards Ukraine in the run-up to the initial invasion, which Russia denied carrying out in 2014, it didn't really come as a surprise because Russia wanted to keep Ukraine as its own. There was a time when he was seemingly happy with the idea of Ukraine existing as an independent state. He kept saying, no, Ukraine's Ukraine, Russia's Russia, we're fine with it. But that lasted as long as Ukraine's leaders acted as though Ukraine was firmly in Russia's orbit. The moment that changed, Russia simply turned off the gas. And I remember the cold, dark winters when there's no heating, no gas, and it was a grim time. So that is something that's really difficult to see as something else rather than a punishment for Ukraine looking elsewhere.
So essentially, Putin's attitude evolved from one of toleration, as long as Ukraine was essentially a client state, into one of aggression once Ukraine sought active independence and separate sovereignty. And that presumably is what led him to annex the Crimea in 2014 and to undertake operations in eastern Ukraine.
I think so. Ukraine and Russia are linked historically, culturally, linguistically. And for Vladimir Putin and his supporters, this means that Ukraine has to belong to Russia. Take Belarus, another Slavonic state that is firmly in Russia's orbit. Formally, it's independent, it's got its own leader, but it's also part of the so-called union state of Russia and Belarus. And for Vladimir Putin, this is what he wants. You can be sort of formally independent, but you belong to us.
And when that stopped happening, that's when he decided to take military action back in 2014. So then there's a gap, and then you get the full-scale invasion. Going back to just before the full-scale invasion, there were plenty of warnings that it might be about to happen. Do you recall what the reaction of the West was when they realised that maybe there was going to be this invasion?
There were other events that led up to it that tested Western resolve and Western response. Georgia in 2008, Moldova before that. Those Russian, I wouldn't call them invasions in Moldova's case, but Russian involvement there, it also amounts to meddling in the affairs of those countries. And Western response wasn't sufficient to make Vladimir Putin change his behavior. So it's easy to see why 6 years later, Vladimir Putin thought, okay, if I could do this in Georgia, I could do this to Ukraine, because Ukraine is the glittering prize. This is what I want. It started with Crimea, parts of the eastern Donbass region. And yet again, all he got in response was a rap on the knuckles, a slap on the hand, nothing more. Meanwhile, Ukraine continued to exist as a sovereign, independent state with ambitions of becoming a fully-fledged, flourishing democracy with strong ties to the West. This is something that Vladimir Putin could not tolerate. That's why the gloves were off, the masks were off in 2022 when he launched the full-scale invasion.
So going back to the period just before the full-scale invasion, it's clear that Russian troops are on the border. The West takes alarm. Do you recall what they actually did to try and dissuade Putin?
There were phone calls. There were visits. All Western leaders were, or Western officials were told, was basically a collection of cliches. In the run-up to 2022, I remember very well this feeling of, surely he's not going to do it. It's crazy. It's mad. It's so catastrophically wrong. I remember a lot of voices saying, this is just for show. Vladimir Putin is only about money, enrichment. This is a distraction. Well, as we found out, attacking neighbors, expanding what's left of the Russian so-called sphere of influence, it seems to be his main overriding objective.
Vitaly Shevchenko, thanks very much for listening to This Explainer. We'll be publishing these every week in the new mini-series, so make sure you follow The Briefing Room on BBC Sounds or wherever you get your podcasts so that you don't miss an episode when we publish them. And also remember, you can go back and listen to any of our recent episodes on BBC Sounds. They're available now. Until the next time, goodbye.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.